This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you in your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Maryland Turfgrass Council. This episode is sponsored in part by ByeSod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode, we feature an article titled "Ecologically Beneficial Turf, a Changing Landscape," written by Casey O'Neill, Graduate Research Assistant, Auburn University, Julie Wang, Graduate Research Assistant, University of Georgia, Nikolai Minev, Graduate Research Assistant, Mississippi State University. Movements such as Save the Bees, No Mow May, and Let It Bloom June are recently trending critiques of monoculture lawns. They highlight the lack of plant and insect diversity in single grass species or cultivar lawns. In recent years, programs like Operation Pollinator have moved the golf industries towards stakeholder interests by supporting research and outreach efforts to improve the ecological function of turf on their facilities. Similarly, the turfgrass industry must prepare to do the same for lawns. While replacing grass lawns with flower gardens, white clover fields, or meadows may be beneficial for pollinators and people in some areas, it ignores the documented want and need for lawns in modern society. Monoculture lawns, typically a green frame around residential and commercial buildings, accumulate pests and consume a significant sum of inputs. Monoculture lawn alternatives such as diversified pollinator-friendly or flower lawns have been discussed. However, a warm season alternative lawn with known beneficial impact and best management practices, BMPs, is not solidified in science or common practice. Understanding BMPs and the benefits of those lawns are crucial goals for the future of the turfgrass industry. The United States Department of Agriculture, National Institute of Food and Agriculture, USDA NIFA, has funded the Refuge Lawn Project to help highlight these goals. The Refuge Lawn Project consists of interdisciplinary researchers from Mississippi State University, Auburn University, and the University of Georgia. The team set out to identify low-growing, flowering plants that would be easily established and managed in grass lawns, as well as provide the resources necessary to promote an abundant and diverse pollinator community. As some of the graduate students work on different aspects of the project, we would like to share some of our ongoing research. Picking the right plants. At Mississippi State University, Nikolai Minev, working with Dr. Jay McCurdy, has been looking for flowering plants that could easily be established and propagated within turfgrass commonly found in southeastern lawns. After evaluating various species based on their blooming properties and appearances in lawn, it was determined that Spring Beauty shows high potential for inclusion in warm season lawns. Spring Beauty is a perennial wildflower that is native to rich forests and low woodlands. It prefers moist, well-drained soil and light shade to part sun. It grows from a small corm or seeds. The growing season lasts from January through April in the temperate climate of the southeast, after which the plant senesces and lies dormant before emerging from corms the next year. The flowers are showy, pinkish-white with deep pink veins, and open in clusters at the apex of the plant, adding a burst of color to the lawn during the early spring period. Additionally, it is a resource for pollinators such as the rare Spring Beauty bee, a small mining bee native to eastern North America. The current understanding of Spring Beauty propagation is limited, hence we aim to address this knowledge gap by conducting a comprehensive study. The primary objective is to phenotype different populations of Spring Beauty and identify those with the most abundant and long-lasting blooms, period, accompanied by high seed production and germination rates. This will allow for the selection of the most promising population for inclusion in lawns. In addition to identifying the optimal population, we are also exploring the most convenient method of propagation, with a particular focus on seeding. To achieve this, we are conducting experiments to find the optimal conditions for spring beauty germination, including testing various temperatures and probable treatments for quicker establishment. Another project investigates the tolerance of spring beauty to commonly used pre-emergence herbicides in lawns. Our objective is to develop management practices that are safe for both turf grass and spring beauty. By combining these different aspects of our research, we hope to provide a comprehensive understanding of spring beauty propagation and its integration into turf grass lawns, while also promoting safe and sustainable management practices. Caring for a refuge lawn. Julie Wang and Dr. Gerald Henry at the University of Georgia are investigating the BMPs for cultural management of a refuge lawn. Mowing height is one of the most well-documented cultural factors affecting weed populations in turf grass. Nearly all lawns are regularly mown for functionality and aesthetics. While mowing is relatively well understood in terms of eliminating weeds, it can be similarly applied to encourage flower production and growth of refuge lawn. As part of the Refuge Lawn Project, we are studying the effect of mowing height on flowering plants commonly found in turf grass that have potential to be pollinator resources. We're currently measuring the survival, growth, and reproduction of white clover, Virginia buttonweed, and common lespedeza in response to different mowing heights. The results may explain the persistence of flowering plants in turf grass as well as their potential as floral resources for pollinators. Fertilization, another common cultural practice in lawns, affects species competition and plant diversity. A high nitrogen content increases turf grass productivity and competitiveness with flowering plants adapted to limited nitrogen availability. This is especially relevant as fertility practices vary by turf grass species. For instance, centipede grass is adapted to lower maintenance regimens in contrast with hybrid Bermuda grass that require regular fertilization during peak growth. We are evaluating the competition between common flowering plants and turf grasses under different fertility treatments, focusing on white clover, Virginia buttonweed, centipede grass, and hybrid Bermuda grass. Preliminary results suggest that low fertility inputs hinder hybrid Bermuda grass growth, leading to an open canopy which encourages flowering plant growth. On the other hand, exorbitant amounts of fertility on centipede grass only enhances flowering plant competition and further plant growth. The understanding of flowering plant and turf grass dynamics will help create BMPs for both homeowners and the turf grass industry. What do the bugs think? At Auburn University, Casey O'Neill and Dr. David Held want to know what insects benefit from integrating flowering plants into warm season grasses. Beginning in fall 2021, we established plots of 7 potential flowering plant species in lawns at the Auburn Turf Unit, Town Creek Cemetery, and Kiesel Park in Auburn. These sites consist of established turf grass lawns that host a range of common warm season turf grasses, including Bermuda grass and centipede grass. The flowering species include spring beauty, white clover, and Virginia buttonweed, allowing us to connect our research with the teams at MSU and UGA. In 2022, the flowering sites were monitored for visitation by insect pollinators, and the insects were collected and identified. Due to the drought in 2022, data collection at these sites will continue in 2023. From these collections, we can establish a pollinator network. This network will show which flowering plants provide resources for the largest number of pollinators, and which plants provide resources for rare or threatened pollinators. While the exact number is unknown, it is expected that there are more species of bees in Alabama than any other southeastern state, and currently over 500 species have been identified in Georgia alone. With such a high diversity of insect pollinators, it's important to include flowering plants that serve as many of the native pollinators in the southeastern U.S. as possible. By combining the knowledge gained from our respective studies, we can establish a model refuge lawn with known BMPs and beneficial impacts on pollinators. To keep up with us and the rest of Refuge Lawn Project's work, or to contact any of the researchers involved, please visit our website at www.refugelawn.com. This work is supported by Agricultural and Food Research Initiative Grant number 2021-67013-34145 from the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture. For all resources associated with this article, check out our show notes. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.